We're in a series right now about new wineskins. And this is the second part, and we'll be talking about our past today. The thing about becoming a new wineskin is it's really a relief when you realize it's not something you can create yourself. It's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit within us to create the wineskin that can hold what God is doing. He's the teacher. He's the one that leads us. And that's so important because our responsibility is to be open. And I don't think we realize, we assume we're open, we're kind of open in our thoughts to things, and we don't realize how many walls we have to God, to growth, to what He has for us. And so the process of the Spirit is helping us to become, I guess, maybe childlike, bring us to a point where we can examine our heart and really understand what's going on a heart level, and be able to take our walls down and just be in an open state before the presence of the Lord. To be open before God is to be broken before God. And something that I haven't realized before, I don't really think we can be truly open unless we have a broken spirit. We can open our thoughts in certain ways and still hold on to our pride and arrogance. But to have an open heart before the presence of the Lord requires a continual broken spirit before Him. If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. And we're starting with verse 29. As they were going out from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him, Jesus. Behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And the multitude sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, What do you wish me to do for you? And they said to Him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight, and they followed Him. I think this is the cry for us that really are in transition and want to be new wineskins. A great part of that wineskin is having our eyes open to be able to see from God's perspective. Having that transformation in our own thinking, that the old conditioning that blocks our awareness of the Lord, having God open our eyes to see as He sees. Yet look at the two people that were crying out. It's like if you really read this, you see they were just being annoying, weren't they? They had nothing to lose. They were broken. They were aware of their own need. They were blind. They needed healing. And they weren't worried about the protocol, how to approach Jesus. You know, the others are saying, shut up. You're messing up the service we're having here. You know, they didn't care. All they knew is they needed their eyes open. They knew that He had the answer. And the Lord wasn't offended by them yelling out after Him. It says He was moved with compassion. And once He opened their eyes, I think it's very interesting. Their eyes were opened. What happened? They followed Him. I don't think we can really follow the Lord, follow what He's doing in this hour, unless first we have that grace to have our eyes open to see the way He sees. There's got to be that change in our mind. And it's so important that we're able to recognize, I think, our own need and have that broken spirit and be able to cry out to Him. Psalm 51, if you read that, you know, the end result is David talks about God's not looking for sacrifice. What is He looking for? A broken spirit, a contrite heart. What's that psalm all about? David coming to grips with his sin, being able to acknowledge his need. And, you know, he offended a lot of people with what he did. He had people ended up dying, committing adultery, on and on. Yet he says, God, against you alone I have sinned. His heart was open and exposed before the presence of the Lord. And there's that broken spirit. Because of the brokenness, he was open to God. God could bring healing and change to him. So in this time of our spirits being broken, I know it's wonderful material for sermons. Very difficult to live. wonderful to preach about, but when you have to examine your own life lessons and see where God's challenging you with that broken spirit, it's painful to go through. If we can acknowledge our need before God in a right way, if we can be honest and open about what's really going on in our heart, our spirit will be broken. There's no question about it. Like David in the 51st Psalm, if we can see our need, we do one of two things. We either try to hide from it, become embittered, run away, or we just break before him. Saying that I heard was read, I'm not sure where I read this or heard it, but it says, honor the past, live in the present, look to the future. I think that's a healthy way to be. And I think we need to acknowledge that our past, if it's not resolved correctly, blocks us from finding our future in the Lord. And it blocks us from really being present with the presence of God. I used to think resolving the past had a lot to do with how well I could analyze what I'd been through. And I think there's value to looking inside and being able to really get a correct view of things you've gone through. But you know, people can be very introspective and still be very much in bondage to their past. Resolving the past doesn't mean we understand everything and why we went through things. Sometimes the best you can do is life is unfair. Oh well. Not everything is answered the way we'd like. Resolving the past is being able to work through it to where it no longer hinders who you are in the present and no longer blocks your future. It doesn't mean you forget it, memories are blocked away. It means it no longer has the power to cripple you in where you are in the Lord today. It doesn't block you from having your eyes open to see the way God wants you to see. It doesn't block you from becoming that new wineskin that can hold what the presence of God is doing in this hour. Sometimes we just can't get past our past, and I think all of us can relate to that. And the problem is we try with introspection to work it out, then we condemn ourselves because I should have gotten through this years ago, and we get in this cycle we don't need to be on. There's a way in the Spirit that God is able to free all of us from our past. And again, I think it comes back to the brokenness of spirit. What you've been through will shape you one way or the other. If we look at our past, I think we're aware of a couple of things. One is where we've been offended. And we've all been offended. We can carry offenses, and they can make us bitter. They can make us very negative. Or those same offenses can simply bring about a brokenness of spirit. Everyone goes through hard circumstances. But I think we have a choice in how those circumstances mold us. In other words, all of us have a past, all of us have been through difficult things, but how we're molded by that has a lot to do with what's in our heart. All that you've been through, you can look at your circumstances, you can look at your past history, you can look at your heartaches, and you can say, all of that tells me one thing, I'm going to walk humbly with God, it breaks me. Or someone else can look at those things and say, I got to justify myself. Those things were wrong. I didn't deserve that. And through pride and arrogance, we become embittered. And that's where the walls come up. And that's where the past cripples us in our present. So what you've been through does mold you. But what are you becoming? How are you being molded? God wants to mold us through all what we've been through into just a broken, humble spirit that he can fill. Another problem we have with our past is the good things that have happened. How God moved yesterday. And I'll touch on this just briefly. When I try to see into the future, what the will of God is, what am I relying on? Well, one thing is just faith, like Abraham stepping out into the unknown. And the other part of me wants to say, well, I know how God did things yesterday. So I can find comfort and security in saying it's just going to be an extension of that. Sometimes the conditioning that is our greatest enemy isn't past offenses or hard things we've been through. It's the blessings that have come to our life. Again, that old wineskin is just kind of a rigid thinking of all these good experiences that I have in my past tell me how my future is going to play out. And God looks and says, well, no. I'm always doing things differently. A new wineskin doesn't have all the answers. A new wineskin is that state of brokenness and faith where God can be God and we can hold it. We can be like Abraham and say, I don't know where I'm going, but that's okay because I know who is driving the car, who is flying the plane. I know who I'm walking with. So I think all of us, and I feel this is specific for our church here. You can look, and I've been here 30 years. Oh, my gosh. Oh, 30 years since I moved back from Los Angeles. A lot. Some of you here have been here longer than that. There's a lot of memories and a lot of good memories. But I would say that that conditioning is probably a hindrance to what God wants to do next. We've got to let it go. We don't want the power of good memories having a hold of us where we can't see something fresh and new that God is opening up by the Spirit. Going back to being offended again, because I don't think anything keeps us in that old wineskin more than holding on to offenses. When we're offended, we build walls. We build walls because we're holding on to our pride and we want to justify ourselves. And I think all of us need to examine our heart right now in this time of letting the Spirit search us with that light and look to see wherever we're trying to justify ourselves and just let it go. We need to just break before him. I think about Jesus and the Pharisees. He was always offending them. The Son of God, he was filled with compassion, the grace of God. His heart went out to everyone. But you notice with those that were so rigid as old wineskins, the Pharisees, they knew what was going to happen. They knew what the Messiah looked like, and it wasn't Jesus. So they couldn't accept him. He was always doing things wrong. He was healing on the Sabbath, breaking the law, doing the will of God, and they were always offended by him, building walls up to him. They couldn't see who he was. And yet, Peter and John 6, when Jesus spoke those words, you must eat of my flesh and drink my blood, the disciples were as confused as all the masses of people that left him. Yet Peter said, Lord, where do we go? Jesus said, are you want to leave too? I've offended you. Here's your chance. You have an excuse to walk away. And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, offenses will come. It's part of life. And you say, well, God should allow it to happen. Well, look at how Jesus was to the traditions of his day. We're going to be offended. But how we respond to that determines our future. And when we're offended and we try to justify ourselves and we say, well, if I can't figure this thing out, then I'm not on board anymore. Those become walls that block us from going on in God. The process of being a new wineskin stops and we're trapped in the old. Or those same offenses can drive us into humility and brokenness. That's what Peter was saying. He looked at the Lord and said, my gosh, wasn't it just a few days ago that we had this great movement going? You're feeding the thousands, you're working miracles, you're speaking with authority, everybody's impressed. Why did you have to say that? Why did you have to say, I got to eat of your flesh and drink of your blood? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. It's offensive. Peter looked at the Lord, confused, hurt, and said, you have the words of life. I've got nowhere else to go. That's a broken spirit speaking. And that broken spirit enabled Peter to go on and follow the Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42. We want to just look at a couple qualities of what the new wineskin, the broken spirit, is. When we're broken and we can relate to the new. Isaiah 42 verse 9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. When we get into this new wineskin, it's a state of being able to hear God declare the things he wants to do. And I wonder how much our holding on to our past blocks us, or should I say relating to our past incorrectly, blocks us from hearing fresh new revelation from the Lord. He's going to do new things. Our minds are not going to be aware of it, but yet he says, I'm going to declare them to you. If we're listening, we're going to hear by the Spirit. Just turn over to Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21. I know these are familiar verses. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? It says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. In other words, don't focus on yesterday. Don't be locked in or in bondage to what you've been through. It's not that you have no memory of it, but you don't have to ponder it. You don't have to look to it for guidance. God's saying, I'm doing something new. You can be a new wineskin. Do you want to be aware of what my presence is doing in the here and now? And all of us have to answer that individually, yes or no. I think a lot of people in their hearts say no. They're more comfortable with their past, pain and all. But we need to make a conscious decision saying, I'm not going to let my past be my guide. I have to walk by faith. I want to be a new wineskin. I want to be aware of the present moving in your spirit. Look at what he says next. I will make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, jackals and ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. What God does when we're committed to being new, something fresh, he works a miracle. Where is our wilderness? You don't have to look outside yourself. It's our soul life, isn't it? Our mind, our emotions, that part of us that's parched and dry, and we try to placate it with religion and, you know, cover it over. God says, in that very area, water is going to spring forth, rivers of life. When we choose to be aware of God in the present, he works miracles in us. That's what transformation is. He takes the dryness of your human experience, and the waters of his Spirit come forth where they shouldn't even come forth. That's his grace working within us. But we have to choose to be a part of the present of what the Lord's doing, to, I think, to experience that. That's the experience of a new wineskin. You look at your humanity and say, I look the same way I did yesterday. I feel the same way. And all of a sudden you see the grace of God bringing birth and bringing life forth where there wasn't life there yesterday. And he says, the people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. In that state where his grace is flowing, the rivers of life, we're being formed according to his purposes. All right, we're going to finish if we turn to Philippians chapter 3. I got to give you an example of this word this morning. The best example I can find is the Apostle Paul. He doesn't dwell on his past. You read through his epistles and book of Acts, you get the impression that's a guy that was in the here and now, moving in God. From the time of his, should I say, when he found the Lord, his transformation, conversion, it's full steam ahead in what God wants to do. But here he talks about his past, and it's very interesting. He says in verse 3, Philippians 3:3, we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. And he goes on to list his qualifications as a great Pharisee and what he did. Now, this to me almost sounds like, you know, hear people give testimonies about how bad their past was before they found the Lord. It's almost like they're bragging about, all the things they did wrong or whatever. But that's not what Paul's doing. He's talking about, well, here's my past. I was a great Pharisee. I did it with all my heart, put everything into it. But what's he saying in verse 3? He says, I put no confidence in the flesh. When you read this chapter, you understand how Paul resolved his past. He became a broken spirit. Everything about his past was his pride, human strength, self-sufficiency. Here he was responsible for Christians being put to death. And how does he relate to all that? He says, like you read in Galatians, he says, the life I live now by faith in the Son of God. I have no confidence in the flesh. All of that ended for him. What he found was a broken spirit, a humble heart. That's how he resolved the past. Can you imagine how hard this must have been for him? To go back into churches and people were looking at him with fear because here's a guy that just, you know, seemed like last week was going to put us to death. It wasn't just last week, but in their minds, that's how they remembered Paul. He was the enemy. And now he's come to be their spiritual father. Can you imagine how humiliating it must have been to Paul, who prided himself on what he did was the will of God? He was doing this for God, and then to find out that he was actually working against God all that time? I mean, that's quite a pass to get over. How do you face people where maybe their own relatives you are responsible for putting them to death and stand before them speaking the love of God and the grace of God? Well, there's no way you do it unless you resolve that past. He was able to function in the present, fully empowered by God's Spirit to speak the word, because when he looked at that whole past, there was a brokenness of spirit. He said, I used to put full confidence in my flesh. Now I put no confidence in my flesh. Let's just read these verses. Verse 7, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And he goes on and talks about how he's pressing into the future. He says, brethren, in verse 13, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying it all, isn't he? In the present, he was totally wrapped up in just knowing who the Lord is. He looked at his future and said, I haven't arrived yet, like Fred was saying, but with all my heart, I'm pressing in, believing God for what he has. Concerning what I was before, a Pharisee of Pharisees, it's rubbish. My spirit is broken. The past has no hold over me. That is being free. That is being a new wineskin, I think. To be freed of our past means that in the present, we're so wrapped up with the presence of the Lord and our relationship with the Lord that we can't be crippled by anything that we've been through. It's what gives us the perspective. A new wineskin means you're in the here and now. You're in that presence where, remember, the Lord says, I am that I am. We're so involved in that reality. We're aware of his presence. That as we look to the future, instead of the impatience, I love what Fred was talking about, and the anxiety of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? If we're a new wineskin in the present, we look and say, no, we're not there yet, but we're headed that way. I can rest. God's driving the car. And in that state of a new wineskin, we look at the past and say, boy, I sure did some awful things. Means nothing to me now. My spirit's broken. It has no hold over me. God has forgiven me. I'm not there. I'm here. Amen. Where are we in this new season? Does the past still have a hold on you? It doesn't have to. You don't need thousands of hours of therapy. Examine your heart. Find the broken spirit. When your spirit's broken, you're living in the present of the Lord.